This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So last week, I set a challenge for my four-year-old son. I sat him at a table and I gave him a marshmallow on a plate. I said to him, if you could wait and not eat the marshmallow until I come back into the room, I will give you an extra marshmallow. I then left the room and my husband was sat next to him. And the results were quite funny. So he smelt the marshmallow. He picked up the marshmallow. He took little bits off of the marshmallow. And he even called me to tell me that I needed to come back because it was time up and I needed to come back so he could eat this marshmallow. When I finally did return, I returned to a squashed, half-eaten marshmallow. A four-year-old finds waiting patiently for a few minutes very hard. Actually, we all find waiting patiently quite hard, don't we? Patience isn't our natural thing. The pace of our world and the speed of our culture are in conflict against a life of patience. Our culture says that we want it now. Fast food, drive-throughs, fast track, priority passes, same-day delivery, and even instant mashed potato. And if things don't happen when people say they're going to happen, we're just not happy. And we consider this to be poor customer service. In a study on how long are users willing to wait for a web page to load before abandoning it, it showed that 40% of people will wait no longer than 3 seconds for a page to load. Patience isn't our natural thing. In fact, it is a fruit of God's Spirit, of God's Holy Spirit at work in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is part of the character of Jesus, part of who we become as we follow Jesus. So as we continue our series on Become Like Jesus, this morning I would like to explore patience a little bit further. So we're going to be reading from James chapter 5, 7 to 11 in a minute, but I just want to tell you a little bit about James. He is Jesus's brother, so I think he knows him pretty well. And he explains how faith in Jesus is supposed to impact our daily life. And in this section in James, this is what he says. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spake in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So James talks about a farmer who has to wait for circumstances beyond his control. He has to wait for rain in order to have a full, bountiful harvest. If he rushes it, he ruins it. Now, this is obvious to us, isn't it? But James isn't just saying that this only applies to farmers. It applies in the circumstances in our lives too. Now, I have been reflecting on this metaphor of the fruit of the Spirit, and it is an interesting concept that these attributes, like patience, are fruit, the harvest or the outcome of some other process. And this links in my mind to James's analogy of the farmer waiting patiently to yield its crop. There are many things that the farmer can do to help: work the soil, water, and guard against pests. But the actual growth of the fruit is an outcome. It's an intriguing process, not something the farmer himself does or can control. I don't think we can make ourselves patient just by thinking about it or working hard at it. Yes, of course, our actions and our attitudes have a role to play, and we need to pay attention to that. But patience is not a fruit of Sarah or of you, but a fruit of the Spirit. So the key is to turn our attentions to God, trust him, let him fill us and change us, so that patience is the outcome within us. I wonder which is the specific circumstance in your life where patience is needed most. Do you need patience in your relationships, in your work situations, your financial situations, or your health? Now, I have two boys, aged 4 and 6, and in this current situation with COVID-19, it's changed so much. I'm with the boys full time, and I'm sure that you can understand this can be tricky at times. In the time of waiting for things to change, for the circumstances to get easier, I have to look at what God is showing me and teaching me about patience at this time. When schools restart and lockdown ends, it will be a relief. But that won't be the reward for my patience. The reward will be the things that I have learned from God in this time. And the reward will be the time that I have spent with my family. Now, James makes a reference to Job, a fantastic Old Testament character who suffered greatly through terrible circumstances. But he persevered. He had patience in his circumstances despite his suffering. When we suffer, our instinct is sometimes to assume that God would not want us to go through any trials or difficulty. But when we look at Job, we can see a different perspective. God's purpose in life is not to keep me from pain, but to make me more like Jesus. And this may involve suffering. It is therefore really important to be patient. Where is patience most needed in your circumstances? Patience in circumstances is hard enough, but patience with people, well, that has a name and a face too, so it can sometimes be really challenging. What about the boss that has offered you a raise over 3 consecutive years, but a raise has just never come? What about patience in your homes with your spouse, your children, your parents? What about patience with your colleagues, your boss, your friends, or even your enemies? Now, James knew how quick we would be to get angry with people and grumble. But we are not simply talking about impatience with day-to-day life. Grumbling is because we're held up in traffic, or we're stuck in long queues in the supermarket, or we're fed up with the social distancing rules. He's talking about not grumbling with people who may actively or intentionally, over a long period of time, hurt us or caused us pain, who have been unfair or unloving to us. and this might have left us with significant scars. So what about patience with those people? Now, I only got to know my dad at the age of 21, and since then, it has been a really interesting relationship. I could write a list of what I would like my dad to be like, but that just isn't going to happen. He is never going to live up to that. The only way that I can continue to have a healthy attitude and relationship with my dad is to trust God and keep giving God the circumstance in my life, inviting him into that situation and be patient. And it's not patience in waiting for my dad to change, because that's just not realistic. Instead, it is the patience in learning within that relationship and to fully trust God. Where is patience most needed in your life with people? So I've talked about patience in circumstances and patience with people, but what about patience with God? I have suffered with a hip condition since birth, and it's been quite debilitating throughout my life. And I've been on a real journey of trusting God and becoming patient. It was especially hard when my hip got better for several years. But unfortunately, over the last year, the pain and the discomfort has come back. Why God now? Why God at all? And I really don't have answers to those questions. I have to trust God, and I have to be patient in God's promises for my life. I continue to ask for healing, but I have come to accept that I need to be patient and take this issue to God. Not for an outcome, although of course that would be great, but to learn patience. I was listening to a podcast recently, and a line from the preacher that struck me said this: I've only lived for so many years, but God has lived for eternity. I can't see the future, but God can. So do we trust him? To be patient with God is to go at God's pace. Patience is to surrender to God's timing and his control. How do we do this? We wait on the Lord with patience, that God is with us and he will renew us and we will receive his strength. What situation in your life is patience most needed with God? So to conclude, we can get impatient with our circumstances, impatience with people around us, and even impatient with God. But God's Spirit at work within us produces patience, part of the fruit of God's Spirit. And as with the farmer's crops, the fruit can take time to grow. Perhaps my children will remember this talk when they eat a marshmallow or when they see a marshmallow. Perhaps you will remember this when you are on the internet and a web page is coming slowly. Or maybe you'll remember this in a queue in a supermarket that's just too long. Perhaps God will grow patience within you as you relate to challenging people over a long time. And I pray that God will help you be patient with his timing. Just as when I talked about patience with my dad, patience is not just waiting for a better outcome or for something to change, but it's a process that itself can change us. Circumstances, people, and God all change me rather than the other way around. Let me pray for us. Father God, I thank you that we never have to face anything alone because you are with us. I pray that you would help us to trust in you in our circumstances, in our relationships, and that you would help us to transform as we practice patience. I pray that you would be able, that we would be able to surrender timing and control over to you, allowing us to be changed to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.